In Vancouver, I am Plante on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. John Twigg joins us again, the independent journalist, longtime political observer, former press secretary to Dave Barrett when he was premier, and former leader of the BC Refederation Party, is on now to talk politics. There's a lot going on, what with the HST referendum and now recall campaigns. Also, a lot of other political stuff we can get him to explain to us and provide his views. His website is johntwigg.com from his home in Campbell River. Please welcome back to the Plante Online program, John Twigg. Good morning, Mr. Twigg.
Good morning, Joe, and thank you very much for having me. I want to say congratulations on your 6th anniversary. I think that's, you know, for independent media, that's really great.
Thank you very much, and thanks for joining us. So how are things with you?
Well, not bad. The resume of, you know, like I was leader of the BC Refederation Party, and I was, but it was, and I did change a few policies, but it was like, I think, a total of about 6 or 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready for politics, and it was too bad. It's my fault, but it's interesting. They're doing fairly well, and you know, it's nice to see a diversity of voices in politics and in the media in general.
There's a lot of talk over this HST stuff about the emergence of a third party. The talk is that it's the BC Conservative Party.
They'd like it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the third parties don't do well in our system. I mean, just look at the Greens, right?
Well, if you go way, way back, I was actually, when I worked for Dave Barrett, there were 4 parties.
Yeah.
And the Liberals had, you know, a handful of MLAs, and the Conservatives had the doctor from Oak Bay, Scott, whose last name is gone now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was very interesting. In a way, it's too bad that we still don't have that. Now, the Conservative Party that's here with us now, I saw a good analysis of it. And again, I can't remember exactly who said it, but yeah, I think it might have been Rafe Mayer, actually. But they're trying to build a new party on the right instead of, you know, building a new party in the middle.
Right.
And that's what's missing, I think, in BC right now, is a middle party. The Liberals, they're called Liberals, but of course they've turned out to be far right. And the NDP is, they'd like to be middle, but, you know, they just don't go there. They're in the crunch, you know, they whip their people and they all vote the politically correct far left line.
Well, do you see a center party emerging?
No, but I wish there was.
Yeah.
there's hope, you know, in the sense that we've got 2 independent MLAs now, Vicky Huntington and Blair Lextrom,
mm-hmm.
and those they happen to be both very good people, apart from being politicians. And I've also, Vaughn Palmer wrote a piece about them not really being compatible personally. But I'm thinking in the next session, which probably won't be this fall, but in the spring, they might find that they have a lot in common and that they need each other. When you put a motion on the floor in the House, you have to have a seconder. And now they'll have seconders. And so they could become more effective. And if that was to grow, there could be, you know, who knows what they'll call it, a center third party.
Yeah. Well, why isn't the NDP doing better, do you think?
Well, that's, you know, how long have you got? Can I make a list?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Carol James is a nice person, and in a way that's a two-edged sword. She doesn't do her fair share of the slagging and the dirty work. You know, she wants to do politics a new way. And as a result, instead of, like, you know, shredding Gordon Campbell, he survives, even though his popularity is terrible. It's interesting, though, to watch the NDP poll numbers. You know, they were at 42% in the last election, and they stayed at 42% during much of Campbell's demise, or decline, I guess his demise is premature. And only recently did they jump up to 48. But, you know, they can't get over 50%. And I think the main reason they can't get over 50% is that their party apparatus, their policy-making bodies are doctrinaire left of a variety of types. And it's not just the trade unions anymore, and in fact the trade unions are not even automatic delegates in the NDP anymore. But, you know, there's feminists and there's homosexuals and there's a few environmentalists, but there's a lot of single-issue, single-focus people in there. And, you know, that's legitimate in politics, but, you know, why can't they get over 50%? Is because those folks won't reach out to the popular middle ground.
Now, yesterday, Van der Zandt, Thielmann, and Delaney had a press conference announcing this thing called Survivor Recall.
Yeah.
what do you make of, I mean, what's that about?
Well, it's a bit of theater to keep the issue alive.
Yeah.
That was my first reaction. And it's also practical, though, because they can't start until November, and yet their movement is chomping at the bit to try and get something to do. So creating a contest to see which of the ridings that are firstest and readiest to go, it's actually kind of clever. And, you know, you look at the list of the MLAs that they've targeted, and I haven't actually got the list printed out in front of me yet, but there's a mixture of vulnerable MLAs in the sense that they won by narrow margins, and, you know, the Speaker, Bill Barisoff, is maybe in there, but Colin Hanson is not really in a winnable seat for the NDP, but on the other hand, he's the finance minister who did this. So there's a variety of people on that list, and there could be more, and it could move. Some could drop off. You know, if there's not enough people to canvass for a recall, why start?
Do you see an MLA being recalled, say?
Oh, yeah, I do. And, you know, just yesterday I saw some, or listened, I guess it was NW, somebody was saying, oh, there's never been a recall ever been successful. Well, there was in Parksville. They were going to get that guy, but he resigned a couple of days before because he saw the writing on the wall.
The guy that wrote those phony letters, right?
Yeah. I can't even remember his name, and he's best forgotten, probably.
Yeah. Are you for or against the HST?
Oh, good question. I'm against the HST as it's structured now, and if we get an opportunity to remove it or change it, as a pragmatist, I would argue that we change it, because the trouble and the cost of getting rid of it, you know, like it's trying to put water back into a spilled glass, it's kind of done, but it could be fixed. And this is not a popular view, but dropping the provincial rate from 7 to 5, adding the exemptions for things like children's clothing that have been removed, if we dropped it to 5, kept the original exemptions on the PST, and added in a few other softeners like a threshold on restaurant meals, you know, again, nothing's taxed below $10.
Yeah.
And Ontario has a version of that, I understand. They call it the Tim Hortons exemption, and I think the number is $7 or $5, and I'm not sure in Ontario. But there are things like that, and a public process of public hearings, sort of, you know, how should we fix the HST would, I think, be the best thing to do.
Well, why do you think it's being accepted more, say, in Ontario than it is here?
Oh, easy. It's because they did a public process before they passed it through the legislature.
Yeah.
And here in BC, they forced it on us. Not only did they force it, but they broke an election promise to do it. It's terrible. And then they did it without legislation. You know, I mean, whoo, is this Cuba?
Yeah. Is there any chance that the referendum next year passes? Like the tax will go through, that people will say, yeah, we're for it?
Oh, yeah. Well, the NDP could screw up. The economic statistics could rebound. Government revenues could, you know, yes, there is a chance. But I don't think it's as good as Gordon Campbell would like it to believe. He's grasping at this as a way to save his job. And he's buying time, taking a gamble, and it's, in a way, that's the best play he had.
And so we're in the decline now, the Campbell years, right?
Oh, I would think so.
Is this the demise?
Well, it should be, but Carol James isn't sticking a stake in the heart of the beast, you know?
Yeah.
She's out there talking to schools. And, you know, meanwhile, this HST and all sorts of other issues are bothering people. The health care cuts is one that a lot of people haven't really twigged onto yet. But a lot of health care institutions, including in the quasi-private sector, in other words, they're private institutions with majority public sector patients and customers and, you know, residents, they're getting their budgets cut. And, you know, like Vancouver General Hospital is getting its pressure to, you know, where can you save money? Save more money, save more money. And it's bad.
And you talked about Carol James sticking the stake into Campbell. Could it come from within his own party?
Well, yeah, that's actually a good question, too. The track record is that's how it has often happened in B.C. history. The backbenchers do it. They see the writing on the wall and they say, "Hey, I don't want to go down with this guy. I need another term to get my pension."
Yeah. Who could emerge though to lead the BC Liberal Party?
Well, that's another good question. Kevin Falcon he's got the royal jelly in the sense that he's very clever, but his personality. You know, he's so partisan that he might not be able to do it unless he was to sort of get some good advice and soften his image somewhat. But he's tied with Campbell. Rich Coleman would like to, but he has sort of similar blinkers in his political outlook. He's the old tough cop kind of a guy. And, you know, he's trying to do social housing, but he's sort of only doing it for the worthy poor. He's not doing it for the real street people. I don't think he has it. Diane Watts, mayor of Surrey, I really don't know her, but a lot of people really like her. She could be good. Carol Taylor could do it in a walk, but she, I think wisely at her age, doesn't want it. And so, you know, we don't see anybody out there, but that doesn't mean that the business community, as they've done in the past, will find a horse. I mean, you know, this is a bit of a joke maybe, but Gregor Robertson, even though he's sort of green, he's also sort of business, and the business community might prefer to have him rather than Carol James.
Yeah, and do you see a change at the NDP's leadership?
Well, maybe, and this is not a common view, but she's had health problems in the past, and I think there must be some strategists in the party who can look at the numbers and say, hey, you know, we're not going anywhere. Her disapproval rating is still very high. And there should be a change in the NDP leadership, but the way the party is, they won't. And I think the main reason for that is the feminists, the militant feminists who dominate the party are, you know, there's going to be no NDP premier unless it's a woman. And if it's not Carol James, they'll get another one. And it's like their mentality is that it's a woman's turn to be leader and premier. And the rest of the people, you know, men like Harold Steeves got denied a nomination last time because he was the wrong gender. You know, there was a quota system, and his riding was targeted for a woman. So, you know, the NDP has really got to look at itself in the mirror and say, is this really us? Is this what we want? And I don't see evidence of that coming, but the statistics, you know, like when Gordon Campbell's numbers start improving and Carol James's start slipping, say a year from now, they could finally, you know, see the light. But I wouldn't bet on it. But it's a possibility, and I think that's what you asked.
Rafe Mayer was on the program yesterday.
Oh, excellent.
And he mentioned that the two issues that are going into the next campaign will definitely be the HST and BC Rail.
Yeah, I don't know if BC Rail will be an issue. It should be, the way they did that. And with the trial going on, it tends to keep it alive. But, out on the hustings, BC Rail's trains are running perhaps better than ever. Even though the forest industry's a problem, the coal industry is basically selling everything they can produce. So, The way BC Rail was handled was terrible, but the way it's running right now is not a crisis.
Is there anything out of this trial that could come out that could damage the government, maybe?
Oh, yes. And It's what kind of coaching was given to Bazzi and Virk and the other people in those ranks, and who gave the coaching. And I think that's why Patrick Kinsella didn't want his name to appear in the any reports from the trial, because I suspect, and, you know, I'm clarifying this, that if this is a possibility, it's not an allegation.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that Bazzi and Virk are saying that Patrick Kinsella told us to do it, or Martin Brown, the Premier's executive director, told us to do it, and that could be a problem for the Liberals.
What do you make of Van der Zem's reemergence through all of this?
well, I like Bill on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, I had a chapter in my brother's book about the problems at Fantasy Gardens, which really exposed for the first time the financial problems that it was having. And I've been watching and even sort of helping in a way with his HST campaign.
Yeah.
But he's doing it somewhat to rehabilitate his reputation, as others have spoken or written of. And there's other issues, too. A lot of people don't realize that he's a defendant in a court case in which the water industry is involved. And it's actually a guy I've known since kindergarten that is suing. And that case has been going on for, well, since Van der Zem was premier. It's when the events happened. And it's just now, might come to trial this fall, if not next spring. And it may be that this is some kind of a play by Van der Zem to either induce the government to settle out of court, or he is getting his legal expenses paid, and they should, because he was the premier of the day when the events in question happened. And there was some jiggery-pokery about the awarding of water export licenses before the ban was put in place. That's the gist of the story. And this might be a weird thing to raise, except that Van der Zem did the similar thing when he was with Fantasy Gardens and the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce was sort of getting antsy about getting repaid from all the loans he was getting to build up this place. And becoming leader of the Social Credit Party and then premier staved off the banks from crunching down on him. So there may be some things like this in the back of Bill's mind. Another factor, though, is that he and Chris Delaney are sort of like soulmates, and they have a theological interest that they share in common. They're, you know, they're both devout Roman Catholics,
right.
Devout with a small D, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bill would dearly like to see a social conservative theological party emerge, and this HST campaign is a way to help Chris Delaney's profile. So, I mean, you know, everybody when they're doing things, you know, it's not often that it's for one reason only. There's numerous motivations. And in Van der Zem's case, certainly fighting a bad tax is one of them. Because he got deluged with protests from people saying, you know, Bill, you know, we can't let them get away with this. And so Bill turns to Lillian and says, what am I going to do? And she says, well, better fight it. So on that level, he's totally legit, but it's not the only level that he's operating on.
These are interesting times, John. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, Joseph, thank you, and any time, actually. And I, you know, I'll plug my website, too.
Yes.
It's johntwig.com, but I'm also rebuilding BC News and Views, and it's actually, it's not really working yet, but, and I also have Campbell River News and Views, crnv.com. So but that's mainly some Campbell River stuff. But my recent column on what's wrong in BC politics can be seen at www.crnv.com.
CRNV.com and
yep.
JohnTwig.com.
Yeah, but JohnTwig.com is it's a sort of dormant. I have to. Anybody out there who's a webmaster, give me a call.
Yeah. John Twig on the line from his home in Campbell River in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.